chapter number 16, Luke chapter 16. So if you want to find that in your Bibles, and as you're turning there, we just want to say a special thank you to all the veterans this morning and all those that have served, and just want to recognize, I know yesterday was Veterans Day, but I would ask that all our veterans that are here this morning, won't you stand so we can recognize you and see you this morning. If you've served or are now serving in the military, amen. We're thankful for all the men and women that have served and are proud to be able to just acknowledge you this morning. Amen. You may be seated. We're thankful for veterans. You know, I see a lot of times a thing is posted, say, if you can read, thank a teacher. If you can read it in English, thank a veteran. Amen. And folks don't know how true that really is. Amen. If it hadn't been for the men and women of our nation who have fought, we might be speaking a different language now. Amen. But we're thankful for each veteran. We do want to remind you that there is going to be a funeral here in the morning. And today, before you leave, would you just look around your pew and clean up around? And if you see anything, or if you've left, got anything there, or any personal items, just take and remove them so that we don't have a mess to look after when we get here in the morning. Amen. And we'd appreciate that very much. If you found Luke chapter 16, we'd ask you to stand with us this morning as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. Ask you to pray for me. Still fighting this stupid cold and thought I was about over it. And it's come back again Friday. It was just horrible. And I still got that cough and can't really preach. And that aggravates me. I hate it when I got to talk instead of preach. But you pray for me this morning. We're going to begin reading in Luke 16, verse number 19. The Bible says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Brother Jim Cato, would you take us to the throne of grace? It's no coincidence that Brother Charles sang that song this morning. I asked him last night if he would sing that because I thought it was so relevant. We live in a time where, and not just this time, in all times, people have tried to discount hell, but it seems that more and more folks are discounting a place that is called hell. They say a God that is love, and John tells us in 1 John that God is love. He tells us that in two different verses, that God is love. Well, a God that's love would never send anyone to hell. Well, that's true. No one sends you to hell but you yourself. God doesn't send you there. You send yourself there by rejecting His Word, by rejecting His truth. by rejecting his testimony, his record that has been given through his word. You will send yourself to hell alone. They want to tout the loving kindness of God, the loving nature of God. They want to tout Jesus's compassion and his caring for people and how he would never send anyone to hell. Might I remind you in Matthew chapter 5, the same Jesus that is preaching, the same Jesus that is teaching. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be lifted up. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom. And he goes on down and he pronounces blessings upon different ones. The same Jesus that tells us that we're the salt of the earth, and it emboldens us and it encourages us to go forth and to tell people about Jesus. The same Jesus that tells us that we're a light, we're not a candle to be hid under a bushel, but we're a light that's to be set on a hill for the whole world to see. This same Jesus in this same message says that to anyone whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But then he says, thou fool, anyone who, or whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hell fire. I want you to know something. Those who discount the fact that a loving God and a loving Savior would never have created a place called hell don't know what they're talking about. They obviously do not know their Bible. They've not studied and heard what thus saith the word of God. I'm thankful this morning that the same God that is a God of holiness, he is a thrice holy God. The angels and the cherubims and the creatures around the throne witness of him and testify of him. Holy, holy, holy. And praise God, I'm glad he's a holy God. I'm glad the psalmist said, thou art so holy that thou canst not behold iniquity. I'm glad that the Bible tells me that my God is just, and being a just God, he would have to create a place called hell because his holiness would demand it. Amen. There are several thoughts and several connotations that man has created. And again, I would encourage you to believe the witness of God, his holy word, his precious book, more than the teachings of man. Apostle Paul said in Romans, let God be true, but every man a liar. Amen. I hope you will take God's word and God at his word this morning and believe him and trust him and rely on him and hope in him and find in him the help that you need for every hour in which you're living. The naturalists in this world say that we are only flesh and blood. And when we die, we just cease to exist in any way, shape, or form. The Christian universalists that maintain that we go through a time or a type of hell after we die, in which we're perfected and prepared to go to heaven, and eventually most everybody goes to heaven, irregardless of who you are. The reincarnationist says that we are living in the hell that we possess and we will know here in this world. And as we die, we come back again. We're reincarnated and we will be reincarnated again and again and again until we reach that state of perfection in which we will be able to obtain that state of nirvana, of perfect peace, of perfect joy. That's not Bible. The annihilationists, now this is a tradition held by many learned theologians. Many that people would be surprised to have held these thoughts. The annihilationists believe that the souls who go to hell suffer for a short period, and then they just cease to exist. That's not what the Bible teaches. Don't believe the theologians. Amen? Believe the Word of God. Catholicism teaches of a place called purgatory, which the Bible does not in any way, shape, or form testify and attest to. There's nowhere in the Bible can you find the likeness or the image of a place that is called purgatory, a place where people supposedly go to finish their work of salvation. I'm glad that my salvation's work was finished on Calvary, and by trusting in Calvary, I was entitled to the work that had been finished and completed there, and there's nothing else that I can do. I can't add to my salvation, and I can't take away from it. By the way, that was a teaching that was brought about to extort money from an ignorant and an unknowing populace, those who didn't study and didn't know the Word of God. The Catholic did not want the common man to have the Word of God. So they told you that if you paid enough money to the church, you could get your loved one out of purgatory. There's no biblical teaching that supports that whatsoever. In fact, hell is plainly taught in the Bible. And some argue, well, in the old manuscripts. And how many of you here can read the old manuscripts? I didn't think so. Anybody here can read the old Hebrew? Anybody here can read the Greek? Anybody here can read the Aramaic? I didn't think so. That's why we have our good old King James Bible, translated from trusted sources, translated from trusted manuscripts. And I know in the old manuscripts, the word hell, as we know it and as we use it, is not used, but it's used. The words that are used are still the picture of what we have for the word hell in our King James Bible. In the old Bible, it's referred to as Sheol. In the New Testament, you'll find that it is referred to as Hades and Gehenna, both. And they're all different aspects and different pictures and different types of what hell is all about. The Bible tells us in several different places different things of what hell is all about. It don't necessarily give us all the picture of hell in one place. In one place, it tells us it's a place of outer darkness. In another place, it tells us it's a place of terrible torment. In another place, it tells us it's a place of separation. There are all kinds of attributes of hell that are discussed and explained. And that's what these words do. They show us the pictures of hell. If you don't believe that there is a hell, let me tell you this, that I serve a God who does. Amen. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells me that God is the one who had prepared and created hell. And He didn't create it for us. He created it for Satan and his followers and his angels. But all who will follow Satan, all who will believe him and trust him, instead of trusting God, will find themselves there with him. The Bible says over in Matthew chapter 25, verse number 41, "Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." He said, well, it was made for the devil and his angels. Yes, but if you read back further in that text that I just give you, the Bible is talking about the time of judgment when the lambs, the sheep and the goats have been sorted, the left hand and the right hand. The right hand going into everlasting joy with the Lord. Those on the left hand are condemned to hell. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 14, I believe it is, or verse 9, one or the other. You can look it up. Go read the whole thing. It'll do you good. Amen. But he tells us that his people have sinned. His people are transgressing, and his people are rejecting him, and therefore hell hath enlarged itself so that it can receive them. Let me tell you something. God knows all about hell because God created hell, and God will prepare hell as a place for everyone who chooses to reject him. It's a place that Christ preached about in Matthew chapter 5. I just read you the verse where he preached about hell fire, and I want you to know something. There's nothing sweet. There's nothing pretty. There's nothing desirable about hell fire. Amen. And Jesus preached about it because it was a necessity. Jesus preached about it because it was a reality. Jesus preached about it because it's something that we all need to grasp. You know why the church isn't as ambitious as what it should be today? You know why the church is sitting, as the Bible says, on its lees? It's squatting. It's just sitting back here on its lees. It's just waiting. And it's just waiting. And it's just waiting. You know why that's happening? Because we've lost the picture of what hell is all about. Amen. I like that song, Faces in the Flame. I mean, just imagine your loved ones in a place called hell. Just start putting some pictures on faces of people in hell. Jesus did. He told us about Lazarus and the rich man. Amen. He didn't name the rich man, but we can put just about anybody's face there. Anyone's face that don't know Jesus as their Savior. Anyone's face who hasn't trusted Christ with their eternity. We're afraid to preach and teach about hell, but we've lost the power that the teaching of hell brings. I believe there is a hell, and I believe it because Jesus taught about it. Jesus preached about it. Jesus gave illustrations of people who have wound up in hell. This rich man died, and in hell he lifted his eyes. There's a reality of a place called hell. And the reality is people go there every day. Excuse me. It's not something that we need to ignore. It's not something that we need not to, man, we want to hear about all the sweet things and the good things and the blessings. And you know, we don't want to hear about a judgment, and we don't want to hear about conviction. We don't want to hear about the hand of God upon us when we are out of God's will. And we don't want to hear about hell, but we need to. What is going to spur the church? What is going to goad the church? You know, the Bible teaches about the Word of God. It's a goad. You know what that is? That's a stick with a point on it that they used to poke the ox with. Amen? To make it keep moving. When the ox wanted to quit plowing, the ox wanted to quit pulling, the ox wanted to quit working, they poke him with that pointed stick. The Word of God is that in our lives. Amen? But we need to be goaded not only by the good things and not only for the sweet things, but we need to be goaded by the horrible things, and we need to be goaded by the reality of what happens when we fail to tell people that there is a hell. We fail to hear about hell. We fail to, you know, it used to be you went to the old camp meetings, the old tent revivals, and the old preachers, what do they call them? Hellfire and brimstone preachers. Why was that? Because it took the preaching of hell to bring the reality of what sin is to light. The people would understand it. Jesus preached it. Jesus taught it. Jesus revealed it in every one of the Gospels. Jesus lets us know that he believes in hell. Not only is hell a place that's preached about, not only is hell a place that's prepared, hell is a place that's filled with physical surroundings. Look at the rich man. And in hell he lifted his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, verse 23. He said, I'm tormented in this place. It's not a figment of our imagination. It's not a state of mind. It's a physical place where the soul, the never-dying soul, and I believe the body of that soul somehow experiences and is knowledgeable of all the things that hell has to entail. In hell, he lifts his eyes, being tormented. Amen? Being tormented in the flames. There is a place. He said, I'm tormented in this place. He said, I don't want my family to come to this place. Hell is a real and a tangible place. And I know there's a time when hell's going to be removed from where it's at. I believe now it's in the bowels of the earth. I believe before the geologist ever understood about what was in the bowels of the earth, God had created a place. Amen. God had created a place, a holding place for Satan and his angels, a holding place for all who will reject Christ and all who refuse to come to him. I believe before they understood the upheaving and the manipulating of the earth's crust, that God said, hell hath enlarged itself. See, hell will never be full, because God will make it accept whatever needs to go there. It's a physical place. Before science could ever try to manipulate and disprove a place called hell, a place called hell has existed. Before the scientist and the geologist and all the other ists that come along have discounted the truth of the Word of God. The Word of God said there was a flood. And I don't care where you go around the world, the flood is testified to in the geological record. Amen? The geologist, well, it took billions of years for this to happen. No, it didn't. It took less than a year. God covered the face of the world. The record's there. The record's plain. You choose to believe God or you choose to believe man. Our Sunday school lesson this morning, 1 John chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, says we have the record of God, but there's some men who won't believe the record of God. They reject the truth. To reject the truth doesn't change the reality. Amen? Hell's still there. Just like the flood still existed. Just like the devil is still trying to deceive the masses. Just like sin is still prevalent in the world. Irregardless of what they want to call it, irregardless of how they try to erase it, it still exists. It's still there. Hell is a real and physical place into which the rich man found himself, he dropped into when he died. He didn't lay in the grave. The Bible says the rich man died and he was buried. And in hell, he lifted his eyes. Hell's a place of punishment, being tormented in these flames. Verse 24, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. It's a place of punishment. It's a place of torment. That's what God designed it to be. That's what its purpose is, and that's what its purpose was. And a God who loves you, a God who sent His Son to die for you, a God who gave everything that He had and everything that He could give on your behalf will send you to a place of punishment if you reject His gift that He sent unto you. You see, a gift is only a gift if it's received. Place of unquenchable fire. A place where our memories will take us back to the time when we heard some old hellfire and brimstone preacher that wasn't afraid to tell us about hell, that wasn't afraid to preach about hell, that wasn't afraid to worry about what somebody was going to think because he was a hellfire preacher and he preached about it anyway. And look in verse 25 and 27 and 28. But Abraham said, "Son, remember." Amen. Remember. Your memory is going to be so alive. Your memory is going to be so relevant. Your memory is going to go back to the times that you've seen the hand of God, that you'd heard the word of God, that you'd spurned the invitation of God. One of the greatest torments that is going to be to those who are in that place called hell is the memory that they have in knowing that they didn't have to be there, but because they had rejected Christ, because they had rejected His word. They're in a place called hell. What a horrible, horrible thing. You know how they say, once something has been seen, it can't be unseen? Anybody ever see anything you wish could be unseen? Amen. Anybody ever done something you wish could be undone? Anybody ever let God down and wish that you had never done it? Yes. But I'm thankful we got a forgiving and a loving God. God that forgives us of our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. But in hell, all those things, all those I wished I had never, I wished I woulda, are never going to go away. I wished I hadn't rejected the invitation. I wish I hadn't turned away that gospel track. I wish I hadn't made light and made fun of what the preacher said. I wish when my loved one come and told me about Jesus I had heeded what they had said. Hell's going to be full of memories. But they're going to be memories that haunt you like you've never been haunted. Imagine in knowing how much God loved you and you didn't have to be there. As you're tormented in a horrible flames, can never die, can never escape the pain, can never get one nanosecond of relief. You know what this rich man, he had everything in his life. He had everything in this world. He had everything that the world had to offer to him. And all he was wanting was just one drop of water. One drop of water to touch his tongue. Just that one little act of mercy would have meant the world. Just think about how fast. Just think about the worst thirst you've ever had. And what one drop of water would have meant. It would have been gone so fast. It would have been so meaningless you really wouldn't have realized that you had even had it. That's how quickly, that's how slowly any relief that you might have thought you might find in hell. It's a place of immense physical desire. He thirsted. Not only did he thirst in his body, he hungered and he desired for someone to go and tell his loved ones. He said, "I've got five brothers. I've got five brothers. And now, I didn't care about Jesus. I didn't care about God. I didn't care about the gospel while I was alive. But I'm in hell now. I'm suffering. And I don't want my family to come here. I don't want my friends to come here. I don't want my loved ones to come here. Send somebody to tell them that I'm here thirsting. That I'm here longing. I'm here wanting. That I'm here desiring. Somebody to tell them about Jesus. When he lived in this world, the Bible says, a certain rich man, he was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. He wasn't desiring all those things he had when he lived in this world. His physical desires were still real, but they were more real than they had ever been because he realized the torment in which he had been placed. He realized, somebody better go check on the nursery workers and make sure they're still in one piece. You know, sound like a revolution has taken place in there or something. And be hearing the bombs bursting in air pretty soon. His desire was real, but it was convoluted. It was turned away from what it once was. He wasn't worried about fine clothes. He didn't want them. He wanted a drop of water. He wasn't feasting sumptuously. He wanted a drop of water. Amen. He wasn't looked after and taken care of. He wanted just one drop of water. They didn't come and go at his bidding, but he just wanted someone to tell his family. He didn't have all that he had before, but he didn't want what he had before. Some people say, well, preacher, I ain't worried about it. When I get to hell, all my friends are going to be there, and we're going to have a big party. You ain't going to be partying in hell. Let me just reassure you that. Everybody's got this picture of hell, of the devil running around with the pitchfork, poking everybody in the backside and forcing you into the flame. Let me tell you something. The devil that you think is going to be running around in hell is going to be suffering just like you are. Hell isn't what everybody imagines. Hell is a horrible, horrible place of torment. It's a place of frustration and anger. It's a place of eternal separation. The Bible tells us here in verse 26, and beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And not only this, there's that gulf fixed in this day and in this place and in this time. Paradise was still in the bowels of the earth until Jesus come and preached to the saints that were captive there and took them to heaven. There was a gulf between the two, and there was no coming out of hell. But praise God, there was none of the saints going into hell either. Amen. Amen. It's a place of separation. Jesus gives the parables of the wicked servants and the wicked stewards and the unprepared and those who failed to get ready. And he says, bind them hand and foot and cast them into outer darkness. You know what that is? That's separation. That's separation from God. The Bible says Jesus is the light and in him is no darkness. You know what that outer darkness is? That's separation from God. You know, God's aware. God, the Bible said, the psalmist said, if I make my bed in hell, thou art there. If I ascend into the heavens, God's everywhere. God knows what's going on. But you'll not have the ear of God. You'll not be able to beg and plead with God like you can in this life to forgive you of your sins and to ease your burdens and to ease your suffering. is a place of total separation from everything. That's beautiful. It's a place of absolute, undiluted wrath. In hell, the very fury of God will be unleashed. In Revelation 14, it speaks of the winepress of the wrath of God and those that pass through there as they're cast into hell to experience every agony that can be imagined. The Bible is plain. The Bible is clear about what hell is and that hell exists. But the Bible also tells us that hell is a place that's eternal. None can come out. There in verse 26 of our text. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Hell is forever. Revelation 14, verses 10 and 11 says, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture, into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark in his name. Those who had followed after Jesus. Forever and ever. There is no annihilation theory. There is no purification theory. There is no changing an individual and redeeming them and saving them. Once they go to hell, the Bible says their torment is forever and forever. Friend, hell's fire is real. Hell's fire is pertinent. Hell's fire is needed in this day and time that we might understand the ramifications of rejecting Christ. In Revelation 19:20, it says, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he received them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. See, the devil will be right there suffering forever and ever, just like you. In Revelation chapter 20, verses 10 through 15, we have the picture of the great white throne judgment. The Bible says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell, this is the only reprieve you will ever find in the Bible that an individual finds from the hell that he goes to before the great white throne judgment, is the moment that he stands before a thrice holy God and hears them tell the angels to cast him into the lake of fire. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I want you to understand something. I don't care what the Mormons say. I don't care what the Jehovah's Witnesses say. I don't care what the Presbyterians, the Catholics, the Methodists, or anybody else says. I don't care what the New Age movement says, or the Eastern mysticism movement says. Hell is a real place. Some say, well, there is no hell here on this earth, or if there is a hell, it's going to be destroyed. Yeah, it's going to be cast into the lake of fire. Oh, this world is going to be destroyed. There can't be no hell. Yeah, it's going to be cast into the lake of fire. There will be a hell, whatever you want to call it, for all of eternity. The Bible said forever and ever. You know what that is? That's eternity. That's eternity. Friend, you're going to stand before the great white throne judgment if your name has not been recorded in the book of life. Whether the Lord comes before you die, or whether you go by the way of the grave and pass through hell while you await the final sentence, the final judgment, you will stand before that great white throne judgment. The Bible says, and the books were opened, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Have you trusted and believed in what's been recorded in these 66 books of the Bible? Have you received Christ as your Savior, or have you rejected Him? Have you trusted Him, or have you refused Him? Because the telltale thing won't be about how good you were. It won't be about how many good deeds you've done. It won't be about how much money you donated to a cause or to the causes. He said, and another book was opened. You know what that book is? It's the book of life. And if your name is not written in the book of life, you will hear those words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Depart from me, you're none of mine. But hell doesn't have to be the end of your story. Hell doesn't have to be your eternity. The rich man said, then I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Let them hear them. The rich man was told that God's word holds the answer. God's word was all that they needed. He said, even if one rose from the dead, they wouldn't believe him. We got one that's rose from the dead, and they still don't believe him. Amen. Jesus, the righteous, Jesus, the sinless, Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, who died for our sins, was buried, and on the third day he rose again. And yet they still don't believe it. They still reject it. He said, they have the word, just like you've got the word this morning. He said, receive it. The word that tells us that even though we're sinners, God loves us. John 3:16. Romans 5:8. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible tells us of God's love for sinners and the preparations and the plans that he's made for us. The Bible tells us of the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, to save us from our sins. Jesus said, no greater love hath any man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his sin, for his friends. Than that a man lay down his life for his friends. Christ died for you. His resurrection guarantees that His death and suffering on an old rugged cross was accepted by the Father. And He was raised, the Bible says, for our justification. He came to this world innocent. He died a horrible death on an old rugged cross for your sins, to pay the debt of sin that you owe so you wouldn't have to go to a place called hell. And He raised up again the third day, victorious, proof that God had accepted the sacrifice that had been given. And He's prepared a place for you that you don't have to go to hell. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place, that where I am, there you may be also. Thomas said, well, how do we go there? How do we get there? And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. See, everybody wants to go to heaven. As a matter of fact, an ABC poll that was taken said 70% of Americans believe in heaven. But of those same people that were polled, only 56% believe that there's a hell. The reality of heaven is it's a place prepared for us so that we don't have to go to that place that's been prepared for the devil and his angels. It's a home that's awaiting us so we don't have to go to a place called hell. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go and prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And Thomas said, Lord, how can we know? How can we go? And that's when Jesus told him, through me, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Friend, today hell's real. Hell is just as real as heaven is. Hell is just as real as Charlestown Missionary Baptist Church is today. Hell is just as real as you are. But God never intended for you to go there. He wanted you to know that there is a place called hell. And He wanted you to know that you deserve to go to hell, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, an eternal death in a place called hell. But He also said the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus said, I'm the way. Hell is a reality. And apart from Christ, it's the reality that you'll experience if you die. But with Christ, that reality changes. It's so diametrically opposed, it's unbelievable. In the place where there's horrible suffering and torments, and unimaginable horrors, there's a place of joy and beauty. Streets are lined with gold. The gates are made of pearls. The walls are made of jasper. And most of all, the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the most beautiful of all beauties that's ever been known, ever been seen. Jesus Christ Himself is in the midst. Hell doesn't have to be your eternity, because Jesus prepared a way for you to go to heaven. And this morning, as Brother Jim and Sister Mary get a song of invitation,